Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the biscuit cooks, the bacon and egg wanderers, the people grilling onions at the county fair. Good morning to the water barons of North Central, sunny Utah. Good morning to those black mountains, almost so black you can't remember the snow. Because it is Wednesday, that's hump day. June the 18th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. And it is still Bo Blimp Doc, and it's 4:29 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, with the deer and the Eskimo and the cougar and the whale wandering all over the place. We've got squirrels and raccoons. We have different types of ground rat. We've got the land crab and the old style whiskey snails. We got the women with colored nails. Stripper queen. But she's not too mean. So the job I was hoping to get, I did not get. And it was also a job I didn't actually expect to get. I was hoping to get it. Some of the people I worked with while I was substituting kind of thought I might get it, and I don't know. They didn't do anything wrong in expressing that optimism. I just kind of wish they hadn't. It's weird to say that. They're really nice people. It's just, here's the deal, folks. I've been really consistent, and I may have been wrong, and I have been wrong. It's why I give myself a B or maybe a B plus at times, but nobody's right about everything, and I'm not a prophet, and I don't see the future. But I've been very consistent and not original. Many people have said this, that when the music stops, there's only going to be so many chairs. It's not a linear process. It's gradual, but you can notice it. You can see it. There are people that have lived in this town for their whole life, and they have families and kids. And on a life raft, if somebody's going to choose between a single man in his 50s with no kids who just showed up, and any given family, I hate to break it to you folks, but you should already know the story. It's actually a similar story to, yeah, your neighbors might eat your babies. Because when it comes down to it, people are going to look after their own. And when you take that to the nth degree, when you push it all the way down, that throttle goes all the way down, it does end up at dropping bombs on poor people. It does. It always has. It's an in-group versus an out-group. Insider, outsider. It is the partition society. One group rules, the other group gets destroyed. Maybe there's a secret group that rules all. Who knows, right? But the simple fact is, on the life raft, people will look out for their own first. If you don't get this, then I can't help you. You know, people ask me, Dan, why did you say in 2020 you should get that, you should leave the cities? And the reason why I said this is because in 2020, you might have been able to do it. And maybe you wouldn't have made as much money selling your home, but you'll make more than zero. And as important, you'll have the time to get to know people. Because maybe there were a couple years left. I figured it was about 5 years. I think it's too late. If you live in a city right now and you're thinking maybe now is the time to sell, I don't mean to be a jerk. Maybe I do. I don't care. Your neighbors are thinking the same thing. And some of your neighbors will get angry. Some of your neighbors will pull the signs up because they'll say to themselves, what right does this person have to leave? And some mayors may pass laws saying you can't sell your homes. All of this commie stuff can and will happen. And as Spooner once said, to paraphrase, you either got what you wanted or you just was always going to get it. I mean, you know, that's a ham-fisted attempt. But, you know, basically, we are where we are at. Whether you think the Constitution worked or it failed, we are here right now. And it is a life raft. Best case scenario. This is not the Great Depression, folks. It really, really isn't. There are more people and there's frankly less resources. And a lot of the stuff that used to give us stuff for free, like the oceans, are not doing so great. And this isn't Greta Thunberg or Al Gore. This is common sense. Do some research. Put down your ironically named device. Stop listening to your Fox or your CNN and do your own investigation. So yeah, this is a life raft. And the sad, simple truth is that my demographic, no matter the politics of the world, is going to get tossed out first. I think the Israel-Iran conflict is looking about as fake as the Ukraine conflict right now. It doesn't mean people aren't dying. It's entirely possible that this is a grand theater and people are dying. But I don't know. I'm not really sure this is random or even necessarily only related to the state of Israel. I kind of stick with what I've been saying. You know, beware the limited hangouts. And in many ways, the Israel thing is kind of a limited hangout. I gotta tell you, folks, we fail so often in our Sovietology. We fuck it up. We really do, all of us, to include me. Because I got pulled into the whole Holocaust Zionism bullshit way too much since 10-7. But it's because 10-7 is so grotesque and absurd. Everything about it, everything since then. It's a scale that one would not have expected, as I've said more than a few times, unless the state of Israel was fighting Godzilla. So it's weird. A lot of it's just too weird. I think that if you read an article headline, I've said this before, that reads like this, and it's in Wired magazine, here is, you know, Zuckerberg's secret bunker in Hawaii, I think as a good Sovietologist, you should reject the whole thing. Because you can be certain you're not going to read about their bunkers. I'm sorry if that shocks you or hurt. Oh, I have a friend who's a I bet you do have a friend who worked on a limited hangout project where Zuckerberg spent a few bucks to make your friend believe a lot of nonsense. But the fact is, your friend probably worked on a Potemkin bunker. He probably worked on something that never existed. I had this idiot on social media gaslighting me. My friend worked at the construction site. I don't care. I met a guy once who told me he worked on rockets to the moon. And then I asked him, when are we going back again? Now, of course, this was the 1990s, so he said, you know, in about 5 years with people, the year 2000. And that never happened, though. So I don't care if you know a guy who knows a guy who knows how to power his car with water, you know, and skunk jism. I don't care. Now, what does that have to do with Iran and the state of Israel? Well, here's what it is. The Zionism thing could be a limited hangout. It really could. The state of Israel thing could be a limited hangout. I think there's truth in it as a Sovietologist. I do believe there was a conversation had between people sometime in 2023 telling the state of Israel that if you intend to finish business, you don't have 20 years. You've got like two. And that would explain a lot of this crazy, crazy, crazy bullshit. But then still you're asking, why did they have 2 years? Because interestingly enough, it does fit into the 5-year window of Bo Blimpdok, and so whatever. It could be dollar collapse, but brothers and sisters, as the days go by, I feel like it's worse. And almost I'm bright-siding to hold on to this idea that dollar collapse is as bad as it gets. I think the collapse of the dollar is baked into the cake. And yeah, a lot of people's homes are basically wheelbarrows filled with paper money, but it could be darker than that. there's no good explanation for the Trump thing either. And I mean, when he said the other day, I think it was yesterday or something, maybe 2 days ago, it's a blur right now, folks, for me. But there's no good explanation for Trump telling a city of 10 million people to get out. It is so completely irresponsible, because whatever happens next, you did trigger a panic. And it's funny, on social media, you have people using the term panicking. I think that is projection, because what Trump did was trigger a panic. So no, I don't know what to say about it. If you think Trump's a real person, like if you actually voted for him or voted against him, and you think he's real, he has mass, he's a person, because I'm not so sure how real he is, a lot like a lot of these limited hangouts that are tossed at us. But if you think he's real, then you have to recognize that what he did is kind of evil and batshit insane. If it's wrong for any random person to yell fire in a crowded theater, what the actual fuck is telling a city of people to evacuate? Because if a nuke isn't dropped, then you just basically triggered a panic. And that makes Trump a panican. But from my perspective, you should stay in the city, because it's too late. I think you've dug your own grave, really. And I don't mean Tehran. I mean every city on planet Earth right now. These will be ground zero places for chaos. There won't be enough food. There won't be enough drinkable water. And if I'm right about rapid, uncontrolled, cascading permafrost collapse, where mountains start falling apart, where are we reading about that in the news, Dan? If I'm right about that, and it's not me being right, it's other people being right, and I'm just willing to do the research to see, hey, this makes sense. But if this is a thing that I've found and others have found to be potentially an explanation, then very, very soon, these cities are going to be horrible places, and it'll be air conditioning too. Like, it'll be, do you have air conditioning? Because that will be where the chain link fence is. Well, excuse me. That's where the concertina wire is going to be. Places with air conditioning. It could start this summer. You know, places in Texas, places in Florida, lots of places that cross the wet bulb will have places with air conditioning, and people will say, yeah, can I come in? This could happen in King County this summer. You know, this has been the West Coast, according to Dane Wigington, has been a climate sacrifice zone for more than 2 decades. So why wouldn't they just let the West Coast heat up so they could buy themselves one more kinda lopsided summer for where most Americans live and where all the boiling water reactors are? More or less. Who knows, folks? I don't think this is going to be a pretty summer by any measure, and I do think Grinkin' time is more or less here. Like what we're seeing right now, with heads of state telling cities to evacuate, get out of there by Friday, I think. You say you have 2 days. This is crazy. I said you had a couple years. People thought I was crazy. Same troll motherfuckers will tell me, but Trump is saying, yeah, he's giving them 2 days. Well, I'll tell you straight up, I think it's too late. If you want to get the value out of your home, if you put your home on the market today, I believe there's a 1 in 100 chance you'll get the value you want. In 90 days, it'll be 1 in 1,000. In about 6 months, I think it'll be almost 1 in a million. That's where I think we're at. So if you have any intention of abandoning your home in a city that is not sustainable, that the voters and the commies enable, then now all that complexity is your garbage soup. If you have an intention of getting the fuck out, you should do it right now, and your odds are still really bad of getting full value. And when you put up your for sale sign, all your neighbors will start getting angry, and then they'll get out their own signs. And then the real party gets started, brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So on the topic of shelter, I I currently have a place to live. And I'm not going to tell you what I pay for rent, but it's kind of obscene in a way, given how much space I have. On the other hand, I remember paying $1,100 a month for basically 150 square feet in Seattle before I left that place in 2021. So it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, and it is shelter. And the simple fact is, I look around right now, and there are not a lot of great options. So I'm basically in a place for where, I don't know, I think I may rent here for a bit longer. I may be able to get the money together. It's not good news about the job, but come on, folks. It's like I want to be at least consistent enough to say, I'm not going to solve problems from 2019. And that is a rear view mirror problem. Yeah, we should all have a job, but very, very soon it's going to be bigger than that. And it might not have anything to do with Israel and Iran. I think of these things as symptoms. If you listen to my podcast, I think they're more indicators for the Sovietologists than something in and of themselves you should get scared about. I do think we're in Grinken time, but it's probably just the beginning. And I do think some of these things are going to be more real than fake. But the reason why we might not be in Grinken time is because the, you know, Israel-Iran thing looks synthetic. The Iranians aren't doing any of the things you would have expected them to do if they intended to avoid, you know, ending up like Libya or Syria. And it's so absurd that you're led to believe that the leaders of Iran are in on it, that they're in on the game, that they understand the game. But more critical or more important is who even knows who those people would be. So yeah, to put things into scope, I'm going to rent where I can rent until I can't rent any further. I feel like tossing out everything I think I know. And this is not an unusual position to find yourself in. I am at a kind of dead end. It's plausible that I figure out a way to eke out an existence, you know, doing like substitute stuff, who knows. But I just feel like this could be the end of my journey, and I don't know that it'll be good or not. I don't know that it's something that I don't know. When you think about the world that could be coming, it's not going to be a world where there's going to be a lot of resources for keeping people safe. So, for example, if you have a family, you're going to have to keep your family safe. Now, a lot of people today would say, well, the consequence of that is my HDTV gets stolen, so I just go to Walmart and buy another. That's not the world I'm talking about, friends. You should know this by now. The consequence is not that a window gets broken or that your HDTV gets stolen. The consequence on the men's side might be that people you love get beat up and abused and killed, and possibly at some point in the future, some of them get eaten. That's what I'm talking about. So when you try to put things in the scope like, well, Dan, what do you mean you're going to toss out everything you know? What if Bo Blimpdoc did start in 2020, but it doesn't end? Like, what if it simply goes on and on? It's perpetual Bo Blimpdoc. It's too crazy to be believed. It's an infinite meat grinder. People keep having babies to toss into it. People keep having fears to energize it. People keep fixating on it to give it power, and it never ends. Or, for all practical purposes, it lasts hundreds of years until, as I pointed out in the past when we talk about the infinite gray nothing, until you reach that infinitesimal in the limit process where there is the last person in some metal box, a chunk of gumbus with barely a brainwave, and it can only scream, turn it off, turn it off. turn it off. So I do. I feel like tossing out everything I think I know. And that might even mean, to some extent, I don't know. As I said earlier, I think the issue of whether or not there's some shadow Zionist government running our government could be in and of itself another limited hangout, another waste of time. And sometimes the truth is so god-awful simple, really. It's kind of like the permafrost thing. Once you figure out they're lying, then you want to pull on that string. And the more you pull on that string or that thread, you find out that, yeah, it could be quite fucking horrible. And if it's not manufactured BS, that's one thing. But what if it is? What if it's just another kind of super gigantic fear monkey? I wish I had the resources to find out the truth. But I don't. I can tell you there are lots of things about the Pacific Northwest that are not right as far as the ecosystem goes. I can tell you that, and I don't care who wants to gaslight me. And you will. You'll get emails from gaslighters. If you talk about the subject on a podcast, I've learned this over the years, you can expect, even with my fourth wall made of titanium, you can expect one or two of these gaslighters to tell you how it's normal and the insect situation is normal. That the situation in the sky, if you just look up, is normal, and it's not. I haven't seen a truly blue sky in a long fucking time. Even when I lived in Utah, it was that kind of shady out, hazy out, you know, what they call it, mostly sunny. They can't really call it a blue sky, can they? But they can call it mostly sunny or partially cloudy, obscured, and occultation, right? Representing the occult. It's, you know, mostly sunny. So I do. I feel like going into my own mind and tipping over tables. I feel like going into my own mind with a whip and whipping the bad ideas and whipping them out, not trying to whip them into shape, just saying, leave. Leave, you've been here too long. And this could even be a rejection of God, and even if it were, God's not going to get hurt. I don't think I'm there. I'm not there yet. I suspect that if we're close to one scenario, and it's not one I like talking about because I have no business talking about it, but if we're close to that one scenario that many Christians think about, then many of us would be like this, struggling, because we would want him to be here, to be doing what he needs to be doing according to prophecy, but he doesn't live according to our clock. He's not on our time. And so some of us, frankly, out of weakness, shake our fist and get angry, and then we give in to our wrath. We give in to our desire for cursing. If you want to know the truth, I've cursed a bunch of stuff in the last month. And guess what? Cursing is not using the F-bomb. Cursing is saying, I kind of wish the state of Iran would load up 1,000 hypersonics with dirty bombs and just launch them at Tel Aviv. Launch them at the state of Israel. Because that place collectively seems so evil, like Sodom, that it would be a question mark. How many innocent people are there? I know Hasbara and all the trolls will tell you, oh, but there's so many innocent people there. It's funny. There are no innocent people in Gaza, but there are innocent people just a few miles away. And what's really funny is these same tards will tell me it was wise to have the Nova Music Festival right next to the place where there are no innocent people. None of the Israeli story adds up, folks. None of it. None of it. That doesn't mean you should focus on it, but from a Sovietology perspective, 10-7 makes no sense. Unless it's a rush job. Like the McPoyle plot, Theater in the Park, the quote-unquote assassination from last year. These are rush jobs because there's just not a lot of time left. Any day now, what you call reality could start slipping under your feet, and it also doesn't matter. I've tried to end every podcast in the last few years saying it's not the end of the world. And even at this moment, I don't really believe it's the end of the world. But there have been times, if you believe what you're told in human history, when we've been awfully close, and so close that people could feel the fire of hell, and they could feel the damnation, because this world has always been a place of sinners. The very moment that Adam and Eve were kicked out of Eden, this place was certified for sinners. So yeah, the last month I've been cursing. I've been, you know, I've even given Trump my energy, even though that, for the most part, I avoid, because I know he's just a giant column of smoke, but I've been cursing. I've been cursing the people that give him energy. I've been cursing the people that call him Hitler or a savior. I've been cursing the people that believe that voting is going to fix any of this. I've been cursing the people that believe the Fannie Freddie pyramid scheme involving their homes is a necessary absolute right of privilege and that somehow has nothing to do with homelessness. I've been cursing a lot of people. I have been hoping that the chaos comes, not because I think I'll live. This is really important so that you understand where I'm coming from. I don't think I'm going to make it. Not very long, and I also don't give a fuck. But I've been cursing because I want these people to experience what I believe is very near. Very near. So close that you can taste it. Every time you go to the grocery store, every time you drive down the street, every time somebody tries to run you off the road, every time you're crossing the street and some dude in a big diesel pickup rolls some coal to show how big he is and almost hits you, it's close. It's close. If I become street homeless in the next few weeks, and who knows, we'll see. I'm going to try to avoid it. I'm going to carry around a sign directed mainly at Mega Man, but also at Fannie and Freddie Woman and NPR Chick. The sign will read, I would rather be drowned like a cat than to be homeless in America. Please drown me. Just put me into a bag. Tie the bag to a chain. Tie the chain to a rock and toss me into the sea. If I wandered the street homeless in the next few weeks, I'd want to walk around with a sign that says, I would rather be drowned like a cat than to live on the streets of America. I am sanguine about being exsanguinated. You know, I do say that. I say it's not the end of the world, but this is the thing about that issue. Whether it's the end of the world, and I don't think it is, I think what bothers people, and this isn't an end of the world thing, this is happening right now in various parts of the world. As tough as my situation is and people I care about, people like me are still doing better than 80% of the people on planet Earth. So probably even 85%. And I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse. The thing that bothers people about the end of the world isn't the end of the world because everybody dies. The thing that bothers them is, will there be people left alive to bury my body? I think that's the issue. I think that's the obsession. I don't think it has anything to do with everybody being gone. You want a group of people to be alive who say goodbye. And if you're an atheist and you don't believe in life after death, it's not so much about you knowing, it's about you expecting. So what bothers you is not the end of the world, but that no one will be left to bury your body. And I've discussed this before as the real fear. It's kind of related to going to the crawl space. Like, there are some people, like myself, who understand that's one strategy. But there are other people who really are troubled by that and rather want to expect that a whole crowd of people will be there, that they will be in their bed, surrounded by children and grandchildren, and everything's going to be fine. But that's never been true. And even in good times, that's not true. The 1990s for the U.S., for many people, were really good times. If you lived in Serbia, you might have had a mom, you might have had a grandmother, you might have even had a great-grandmother and a whole family, and within a few years, you know, if you'd been in the former Yugoslavia, they could have all been wiped out. So yeah, these things actually happen to people. Good people, bad people. I know the only good people are the people of Israel. But even other people are good, and this happens to them too. The last topic is related to Motel 6, and I gotta say, I hope I piss off a lot of people. So I'm gonna read this article. It comes from floridadaily.com. And let me read the headline. Parent company of Motel 6 chain sued by longtime spokesman Tom Baudet. You know, we'll keep the lights on for you. And this is published by Florida Daily, which might be their AI. And it was published yesterday. Tom Baudet, the longtime spokesman for Motel 6, has filed a federal lawsuit in New York against the budget hotel chain and its parent company, G6 Hospitality. This lawsuit represents a significant shift in the nearly 40-year partnership between Baudet and Motel 6, as he alleges breach of contract and unauthorized use of his voice and name in advertising after their collaboration ended. Baudet, whose warm and unpretentious delivery has defined Motel 6's identity for decades, became synonymous with the phrase, "We'll leave the light on for ya." The iconic line was ad-libbed by Baudet in 1986 when the Richards Group advertising agency first brought him on board. At that time, he was living in Alaska, contributing to essays to NPR while also working as a carpenter. His folksy voice and down-to-earth tone resonated deeply with Motel 6's working-class audience, making him a staple of American broadcasts. According to the lawsuit, Motel 6's new owners, following the acquisition by the India-based hospitality group Oyo, also known as Patel Incorporated, failed to make a scheduled $1.2 million annual payment in January 2025, which is part of a long-standing contract with Baudet. The complaint further claims that even after Baudet formally ended the agreement in early 2025, Motel 6 continued to use his voice and name in recorded phone messages and advertising materials. Baudet argues that this constitutes a violation of trademark law and his right of publicity, especially since his likeness and signature phrase were used without his permission or compensation. Baudet also asserts that his attempts to resolve the issue privately were met with delays, evasive responses, long wait times on the phone call, and groups of shirtless, dusky, swarthy men chasing his white women. His legal team indicates that repeated efforts to settle the matter amicably were met with really terrible curry sauce and resistance, prompting him to pursue litigation. The lawsuit, filed in Southern District of New York under the case name Baudet et al. V. G6 Hospitality LLC et al., seeks payment of $1.2 million owed, along with additional damages and a share of any profits linked to the continued use of his persona. I'm going to leave it right there. There's more to the story. I think what they're going to do is they're going to rebrand Motel 6 in a couple different ways. It'll be Patel 6. It won't be Motel 6. It'll be Patel 6. Patel 6 colon, because here's some branding ideas. Patel 6 colon, at least six of my sons will jump you while they're cleaning rooms. Here's another branding motto. Patel 6 colon, you'll pay six times more for sheets we clean 666 times less. Patel 6 colon, got sleeping bugs? Patel 6 colon, the minor league before you reach Pornhub. Patel 6, lights are out, it's dark, come on in, baby. Yeah, there's no more Tom Baudet. What you're going to get is imagine a version of Running with the Bulls. And I think there's a marketing niche for this. But it's set in India or an Indian run-and-theme motel chain. It's like, can you run the gauntlet, the whole stay, in a bikini okay? And this is going to be for all the pogs. And the Sikhs can invoke religious freedom to defend what they do. It's all in a PowerPoint. Did you know that a Hindu is allowed to eat a white baby before they eat beef? This is actually true. Like, between eating beef and a white baby, a Hindu can eat a white baby. And Sikhs just don't care. They derive a powerful sexual lust from eating babies. Them peoples. From the dark subcontinent. And then they head out into the lights out. And it's lights out at Motel 6 now. They're not keeping the light on for you, baby. They're turning it out. And they're going to turn you out. Did you know that one Indian man can eat seven white babies in a day? And these are just the Hindus? And you had questions about Bland Barrenhood. You wondered why they were in every city. You just didn't know, did you, where the bits and pieces were going. Yeah. Did I just offend a bunch of Indian people? I don't really care. I don't care. I've thought about that question in the past. Like, would I care if details of my posts online were made public? And the simple answer is, I don't care. You could have the cleanest record in the world and people will call you racist. You could post all kinds of racist stuff and people will say you're not racist. If you look at the writings of Gandhi from when he lived in South Africa, you might find that many of his writings were, I don't know how to put this, really fucking racist. But what does that really mean, right? He's Gandhi. He gets away with it. It's like the state of Israel. Everybody in the state of Israel is innocent, but everyone in Gaza is not innocent. Look at these children. They'll post little pictures of kids with guns, kids with whatever. Who knows if the pictures are real? I know that when I was 10 years old, I would walk around with a 10/22 Ruger on my back to go shooting. I wonder if today, take a picture, that means you can just kill the kid, right, Zionist? And that's if you think the Zionism is real. So I don't know. I think the racism is a limited hangout. I think a lot of this is divide and conquer bullshit. Your best bet is probably to disconnect. which even means at some point in the coming weeks to probably stop listening to me, all three or four of you. That's your best bet. Because I've thought about this. Am I going to keep the podcast alive? Of course I am. I have OCD. But I don't know that there's that many days left that it'll matter, really. Because I can tell you definitively that even now, I don't believe it's the end of the world. But brothers and sisters, a lot of the worlds in the lowercase sense are about to end. And the situation with Iran and Israel could just be more people playing games in the dark. More of this deep state stuff that none of us fully understand. It could be. It could presage the end times. It could be. It could be there is no God, and what we're about to experience is a series of events that will push the human race to the brink, and then maybe, even then, could be the human race survives somehow. This is not a world of innocent people, brothers and sisters. If you're an atheist, you should know that. If you're a Christian, you should really know that. This is not a world of innocent people, and it was not from the beginning. If you think about Abraham in the darkness, in the emptiness alone, what kind of world do you think he lived in? Do you think he was surrounded by mostly good people, or frankly, mostly people like your neighbors? Yeah. This is not an innocent world. This is a world of sinners. It was started by sinners, and it will be sinners that are here once this world passes away. So don't be too weepy either. Don't play pretend. I won't play pretend. I am not so innocent that I could even imagine that I have a right to spend any more time here. And I know a lot of folks, frankly, that are in the same category. So as long as you can remember that this is a world of sinners, then you might make it. You might make it. You might even figure out a way to make it work with God. But if you think you're surrounded by innocent little decent people that somehow, if things go sideways, will be all flashy fairy tales and everything's going to be okay, that's not what's coming. It's going to be a lot worse than having your TV stolen. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.